This is Rob around the county, and today I am talking to Jean Laporta, Claverick Town historian. She's going to talk about a bridge that's in Claverick called the Shaw Bridge. Jean, it sounds like a very interesting bridge.
Yeah, hi Rob. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for inviting me back. The bridge is very interesting. It's an historic structure, and it's located right in the hamlet in Claverick. So did you have any particular questions that you wanted?
Just about, you know, when was it built, and what kind of a bridge is it as far as the design? And
it was built in 1870 by a bridge builder by the name of John D. Hutchinson, and he used the design of a famous engineer by the name of Squire Whipple. Squire Whipple's famous, well, he graduated from Union College, for one thing, in 1830, and he's famous because he designed this unique bridge structure. Before this bridge, I think they were using a lot of wood, flat wood structures, and they didn't use iron, and so he used cast and wrought iron in his design to give it the strength and also the flexibility in the bow structures, and he incorporated that with the wood deck design so that the bridge had strength, and that it could have the wooden parts could be replaced as necessary, but without taking down the whole bridge. So in history, you know, the bridges lasted a certain length of time, and they would sort of collapse from use and wear and tear and rotting away. And this one is built on his design is a strong stone foundation with the wrought and cast iron beams and structure. So very, very strong. Skeletal part of that bridge. And so this is the design that Hutchinson used for Shaw Bridge. Shaw Bridge is located on what is now Van Wyck Lane. At the time in 1870 when it was built, that road was the part of the Albany Post Road. 9H was not in existence. So this little Van Wyck Lane was the main route. And it's believed, because of that, it is theorized that New York State actually contracted to build this bridge. That I can't verify, so I can't claim that for fact, but that is the theory. And so they wanted a very strong and sturdy bridge, so it's been in existence ever since then, and I remember it as a child going over the bridge, and it did have a unique feature. It was a one lane. So the traffic on either side had to stop and let the other traffic pass. And then when you went over it, it went kind of something like thumpity, thumpity, thump as you went over the wooden decking. And I always remember thinking that it didn't sound very, very safe to me. So I was hiding under the dashboard most of the time as we went over it. But anyway, learning and looking back on it now, it was such a safe and sturdy bridge. So it's still there. And the substructure is in remarkable condition. Over the years, we've had a few engineers study it. In fact, we've had two major studies. One was 1979. In fact, my cousin was an engineer. His name is John Testa. He doesn't live in the area any longer, but he was a student of Union College. And he had his thesis was on this bridge. Interestingly enough, I didn't realize it at the time. And we had another one done in, what year was it, by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Let me look at my note. His name was Ryan and Biggs Associate. Dr. Biggs did the study in 2013. So that was the more recent one. And again, even after all those years, the real strong argument for that bridge was that the substructure was very strong. It needs repair. The decking is gone at this point. It's rotted through and there's plants and stuff. stuff growing through it, but it, the substructure remains in amazingly good condition. So the bridge, this particular design, well, let me jump back to Whipple. He designed a, it's called a single truss bowstring bridge. So a lot of description for that basic sweeping design with the wooden deck. Van Wyck, our Shaw Bridge, happens to be a double span. So we actually have two arches that go over the stream, and it makes it very visually very pretty. It sits on the stream at a turn. It's pretty to look at. Let me see, what was I going to say here? So this is the only existing double span bridge of this design in its original location in the world. So it's hugely significant. And over time, you know, students and engineering enthusiasts have come to look at the bridge from all over the world, actually. A few years ago, well, there's been different times when groups of residents have gotten together and felt that they wanted to have the bridge repaired and restored. About 1980, the bridge was closed to traffic, and it was left open to foot traffic for a time and then completely closed. The date of that closure, I don't have right in front of me, but it wasn't that long ago. So I think it was like in 1996 or something that they completely, they put a barrier across it so you couldn't walk there any longer. And if you take a look at it, you wouldn't want to walk on it. It looks a little, you know, there's spaces where you can see down through the boards and it doesn't look too good. But anyway, so a group of citizens got together and felt like they wanted to open it up to foot traffic as a walking bridge and as a historic site for visits and, you know, make it look appealing, park-like, and inviting to nature lovers and so on who would want to, you know, maybe study the bridge and just, you know, something nice to do for the town of Clarick and the people. And so there was quite a movement to do that. It boiled down to requiring quite a bit of funding to oversee the entire process of restoring that bridge. So that's where it's stalled. It's kind of sitting there in, you know, in a waiting mode while, you know, people decide how best to go about that process. And we did have the William G. Pomeroy Foundation awarded a grant for the New York State marker to be placed at the bridge entrance, so we do have a marker for it. That marker is, we had a ceremony down there. We had a commemoration of that marker in May of 2016, and quite a number, about 50 people attended, and it was quite a pleasant day. It was a beautiful, warm day, and we had the marker unveiled at the site. But the town put it in a kind of a temporary fixture there, and about 2 years later, the marker disappeared. Somebody had taken it from the site. So, you know, we posted some requests for the return of the marker, and about 3 or 4 months later, it appeared. As it left, it appeared back there. A little dinged up, a little muddy, but it was returned to the site. And so as a result of that disappearance of that marker, whether it was a joke or whatever, I don't know. I don't know what they would do with the marker. For any reason, it's now in safekeeping in the town transportation department. So until they place it permanently, the reason why it's not placed permanently at this time is pending. If work is to be done on the bridge, they didn't want to have to move the marker again. So we have a beautiful blue and yellow New York State style marker. As I said, it's in safekeeping off-site, but pictures of it are available. So I have pictures of it. I have the whole write-up about this Shaw Bridge on Clarick History Minute on Facebook. So if you go onto Facebook and just, you know, go in the search bar and look for Clarick History Minute, you can type in Shaw Bridge, and that should populate right up there for you to see. And it's pretty. And when you look at the bridge, I think when you see the pictures of it and the marker, the significance of it, I think – it just does generate a lot of interest and maybe some enthusiasm for getting it finally repaired for people to use as a, you know, a footbridge. A lot of people in the neighborhood like to walk as a form of exercise, and having the bridge just extends that ability to walk over the Clover Creek and out to the other side, and, you know, I think it's a pretty walk. So, I mean, that's an option. It's something to think about, whether, you know, hopefully people will consider it and, you know, put some support behind that effort. And so that's about the story of the Shaw Bridge. I think I covered about all the real pertinent details. Rob, did you have any particular interests or...
I was wondering, you said the bridge is on your Facebook site. Maybe you could give my listeners the name of the official name for that Facebook page.
Okay, sure. It's Facebook, of course. You'll log on to Facebook as you normally would if you have an account there. And you'll put in the search bar Clawbrook History Minute, and that brings you to the Clawbrook History Minute page. I developed that Clawbrook History Minute page when I first became the historian in the town as a means of using, you know, kind of a popular social media to get little bits and jots of history out there to the public, and hopefully, and to some extent, this has happened, that there would be some, you know, dialogue and a sharing of ideas and memories about the town. I wrote the story up when we did the commemoration in 2016 for the historic marker at the site, and I placed pictures of that marker and the bridge and some of the ceremony and wrote up a little history of the bridge for that site, so that it kind of fleshes out what I've talked about here this morning.
Have you been in touch with the Columbia County Historical Society as far as, have you ever submitted anything? Have they ever done any article in their magazine?
Whether they have, you know, I am sure they must have in the past, but I haven't particularly seen anything. You mean in their History and Heritage magazine?
Yes. Maybe you could make a query to it, because it'll be interesting. Then we could find out, and then that could be another source. If an article was written on it, the people could look for it, too.
Correct. And, yeah, that's a really good idea. I could let you know that at another time. If the announcement of that, I definitely will find that out. And, yeah, definitely. And if not, that's a good idea for the future. I could maybe suggest that we do that. So I'm almost certain that they must have over the years, because this discussion about, you know, renovating and repairing the bridge, at one point they actually did want to reopen it to traffic, and they had a big meeting down there with the Clawbrook Historic Society was actively pursuing that angle. They had a petition going around at the time. Some of the neighbors in the immediate vicinity did not want it opened, and the reason being, people would use this neighborhood as a crossroads between 9H and 23, avoiding the 23 9H traffic light, and the traffic sometimes that you might encounter there with the post office and at the time the store. So the traffic would zip through here, but they went very fast. So we had, you know, children in the neighborhood, and there was some safety concern. So, rightfully, people did say, you know, they had some questions about opening that to vehicular traffic again. And I think that in more recent years, since 2016, when we did the sign commemoration, and actively our historic advisory committee was actively supporting the notion of opening it, but opening it only for foot traffic, so the and to and the really to maintain the bridge, to keep it in good repair so that it's a, you know, a historic artifact that we can study and not allow it to crumble into disuse and abandon. So in the summertime now, when you go by, you'll see a lot of trees and bushes. And honestly, the town does go in and clean it up. You know, they'll mow it and cut some of that stuff down so that it doesn't completely take over. But it is more and more becoming engulfed in all the brush and stuff like that. So it's less and less visible, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So that's a shame, because it's quite a feat and quite a gift to our town. Some of these bridges, there is one that was relocated to the Union College campus, mm-hmm. and that one was, of course, fully restored and put on the campus as a, you know, engineering study. And then I can't tell you how many of the Whipple design bridges were used for the Erie Canal. I think the number may be in the hundreds. Of those, maybe a few of them have survived. There's a few that have been moved, but not in their original location. So there is one of the Whipple design, bowstring truss bridges located in a city in Japan. And I think that's called the Hachiman Bridge or something similar to that. So it does reach some international interest for that reason, and it's quite a pretty design. It's sweeping and arched and simple, so it's got a nice quality to it. And yeah, as I said, engineering students love to look at it. And did I say that it was the first scientifically based bridge? So it actually had, you know, a mathematical calculation of load bearing, the notion that, you know, the distance and strength supported the weight that was on it. I had read an interesting article about a bridge that was built in Stockport, and they said that the load test was that they drove a wagon loaded with a heavy cargo over the bridge, and that since the bridge was able to withstand that very heavy load, they knew that it was good for the rest of the traffic. That was quite a test. Maybe that's what they did, but it struck me as a very funny way to do a load test after you spent all that time and effort to build the bridge, and then, you know, not knowing whether it would support it or not, it could fall down in the process. So this bridge was calculated, you know, by its distance and weight and strength to hold. The first of its kind in many respects.
You know, at the least, I think, if they could cut more of those brush, you know, at least make it visible. I think if it was seen, more interest would be of it. You know, people would notice it.
Correct. You know, it's tucked back in the neighborhood, now tucked back. At the time it was built, as I said, this was the primary group. People pass through here. This was a public conveyance here. But nowadays, it's tucked into the back of the little neighborhood, and I think people view it as more of a private location.
Mm.
But it actually isn't. It is actually a very public part of the town. I think it's interesting, and I really have been a strong advocate of repairing the bridge. I hate to see it, you know, sit wasting when at the least we should try to keep it.
I was wondering, for money for it, of course, it would be great if some organization received a grant for it, for some of the expense of repair.
Right, that's one option to do it.
Speaking to Union College, getting, maybe there are people there that are still interested in it, or not, or maybe they need to be made aware of it. This bridge that's so close, and since it's been a few years since, maybe in the past it was a union student researching it. If there's an interest again,
right, to revive that interest. I know that Dr. Driggs, who did the study, was affiliated with Union. Whether he was a graduate or not, I have his paper here. I can take a quick look if I can find it. I may not be able to find his information as quickly, but I think Union College has been made aware of this, and they've been down since to take a look. I think there's a limit as to what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, as far as being supporting, yes, but there's a limit because it has to come from the towns and the county even. I believe, I could have this wrong, the town was in charge of maintaining the road bed, which means the decking, and the county was in charge of maintaining the structure. The way they worked that out, that has to do with the transportation and the way they divide up that part of it. But I believe that's how that system worked. Until now, the bridge was declared closed. And so it was, I don't want to use the word abandoned, but it was just sort of discontinued by the county. So they no longer come in and do any, they don't have to inspect it or anything because there's no traffic. It's been officially closed. And the town maintains somewhat in keeping the grass and the brush cut down around it. I don't know if it's actually safe to walk on the decking anymore to clean from the people. It's an important structure. And this radio program will be a good way of teaching about that and why they should be interested in it. It has ties to really an interesting engineering feat and significant engineering feat. Both Hutchinson and Whipple were very renowned in their field. Hutchinson was responsible for hundreds of bridges in his career, and Whipple won the patent for the design in 1840, I believe. I think it was 1840. He actually has a patent number. It took him some time to get recognition for the patent, but he did get it. And so it's important. And the fact that it's the only one still standing in its original location, I think that, you know, is hugely important. So, yeah, why not protect it? So anything that you think your listeners might be interested in, surely.
Okay, well, Jean, it's Jean LaPorta and the town historian of Clavrec, who talked about the Shaw Bridge. Thank you again, Jean.
Oh, you're very welcome, Rob. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.